This Dr. Pohl podcast is made possible with support from Vetrisyn, your trusted name in animal wellness products. Learn more about our products, which makes caring for your animals simple and easy, at Vetrisyn.com. That's Vetrisyn.com.
Welcome to the Incredible Dr. Pohlcast. I'm your host, Charles Pohl. I'm joined by the man, the myth, the legend, the Incredible Dr. Pohl, as well as co-executive producer of the Incredible Dr. Pohl, Jonathan Schroeder. Our engineer today is Michael Stankovich.
Charles, I keep telling you, I'm not dead yet.
That's a good segue, Charles, because I wanted to know, how do you feel being known as the Incredible Dr. Pohl after 5 years? Are you ever comfortable with that?
Still not comfortable, because incredible, that means unbelievable. And maybe I'm unbelievable, but what I do is really the honest to gosh truth. So it is very believable.
Well, I think it, you know, I always took, you know, there's people, and you see people and be like, oh, well, he's just a regular veterinarian. All veterinarians do the same job. For me, the incredible part was never about the doctor. It was an incredible doctor. It's the Incredible Dr. Pohl. It's linked to Pohl because I think you're an incredible man to be 72 years old doing what you do every single
day.
73 now. 73.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Just turned 73. But you're doing what you do every day, waking up, doing it after all these years.
Yeah, but the whole secret is that, no, I enjoy what I am doing.
Well, that makes you pretty incredible.
Maybe. But when you find work that you enjoy doing, you basically don't have to work. It's always fun doing it. Sometimes it's hard when you get in the wintertime and you have to strip to your restaurant to get the calf out. Yeah, it's kind of hard. But there again, I love to work with animals, and I help animals. And by helping the animals, I help the owners. And that goes with small animals, that goes with large animals. For large animals, it is always economical because, you know, if you can save this cow and get the calf out, and even if you get a live calf out, that's even better. That is money in his pocket. And this is my goal in life, to help people by helping their animals. That's how it is.
Do you know how the Incredible Dr. Pohl got its name?
I have no idea, but I wish I would know the guy.
There was
who did,
a list. I'm about to tell you how.
Yes, my fist will go through the microphone, punch in the nose.
So we all wrote down four or five different ideas about what we think the name of the show should be. That those first 4 weeks that we were in Michigan, and the network really liked the name Farm Vet 911. So it was almost Farm Vet 911. Which I think sounds ridiculous at this point.
Yeah.
So I was so happy they chose my idea, my title, The Incredible Dr. Pohl. And I was so excited that I told Dr. Pohl, hey, what do you think of this name, The Incredible Dr. Pohl? And he said, I hate it.
Yeah, he does. Right. Do you still have that list? Maybe one day you can come in. We'll get on and you can read off all the different titles.
Well, I have no idea if it's on.
Dr. Pohl's Big Farm was one.
Dr. Pohl's Big Farm. There was something about the long arm of Dr. Pohl, I believe, was one, an option. But
Sausage fingers, Dr. Pohl.
Sausage fingers. You do have some of the biggest hands that I've ever
seen.
That
is the most incredible this set of fingers that I've ever seen. You could be just incredible on that. I know you can't see the viewers now, but they're like Jimmy Dean sausages.
Right. No, the whole secret of being incredible, I guess, is, you know, the monkey arms that I have. I have no idea how I got that way, because
monkey arms and gorilla arms, fingers.
Yes, probably by pulling so hard they stretched a little bit. Now, if you watch the show very close, you can see that, yes, I stretched my arms too much and busted both my biceps. But at the same time, I haven't lost any strength in there, and I still can, fight with the calves inside the cow as much as I want to until I get them out.
Well, I can tell you one thing for people who are wondering. People always ask, you know, like, is your dad as strong as he appears? And I would say that, you know, where your strength is, and anybody who's ever arm wrestled you or monkeyed around, wrestled with you, knows that you have crazy core strength. You have crazy human core strength that is just like would make a yoga teacher cry.
I've seen him pop a football with his bare hands.
Oh, yeah, right.
Between two hands.
Yes. No.
We joke around sometimes that if a team of scientists were genetically designed the perfect veterinarian with the long, crazy monkey arms, the bald head so the blood doesn't spill on you, and then the gigantic hands, I think that they would come up with some version of Dr. Pohl.
We have a lot of kids. It brings me to my next question for you, Dad. We have a lot of kids that come to the clinic that want to be veterinarians. And I think, you know, to throw back, and I want you to tell the story from vet school, what they have to look forward. Tell the story about the time that you guys lined up and there was a table full of guts, and the vet came by and you had to learn to suture guts.
Oh, yes. See, when I was in vet school, we used a lot of things that they don't do now. And when you learn how to cut with a scalpel, you first have to learn how to suture. And what they did, they went to the slaughterhouse and they had the intestines of pigs. Now, the small intestine is always easier to do. But they took the large intestine, which has a very thin wall. And they put them on the table, and every student had a pile of intestines in front of him. They came along with a pair of scissors, and they cut them. And they said, suture. And so everybody was just busier than all get out. And he said, one of the students was done very fast. And he says, I'm done. And the professor came along, and he put one hand on one side of the suture line, the other on the other side, and squeezed. And guess what? Yes, the stool came through the suture line. He took his scissors, cut beside it, suture. And we had to suture that so good so there was no stool coming through the suture line. We started at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Some students didn't get out of that until 9 o'clock that night. One of the things that I have learned is suturing. Believe me, I did not want to be there till 9 o'clock. When I saw what was going on, I went back. I took the sutures out, and I started all over. And when he came to me and squeezed the intestine, the stool stayed in.
When you talked to me about your vet school, it sounded more like a boot camp than a vet school.
It was.
Do you think that made you a better vet?
The funniest thing was when we were in the later years and we were getting our hands dirty in cows. See, the thing is, when the vet school in the Netherlands had an ambulatory practice, there were a lot of farmers in the area that would call the school, as they call it. So what happened was, if they had a cow trying to have a calf at night and they didn't feel like pulling it, they called the school. And he would get a veterinarian, two students, and sometimes three out. And they would pull the calf for him, even if it was almost a normal birth. And he would pay $1. And that was all, because it was educational. He had students working on these animals, and they accepted that. It's the same thing when they brought animals to the clinic. They were realizing that students would work on their animals, and the price was nil. You know, yes, they had to pay for medicine, I guess, but the work itself was almost free. And this is how we learned.
So you worked on a lot more animals than a normal vet student going to vet school today.
Yes.
Worked on. How many calves do you think you pull before you graduate?
I have no. Well, that last year we did C-sections, we did embryotomies, we pulled normal calves. I probably pulled, I would say, 25 calves before we graduated. At the same time, we had to attend normal births of cows and horses. And if anybody knows how a horse is giving birth, it usually is done in 5 minutes or less. And to be honest,
I bet you a lot of women would like to have that.
Yes. Sorry, Charles. So what we had to do is attend five normal births of foals. But we never would get that in time. And to be honest with you, to this day, I have seen only one normal birth of a colt, but I didn't have to do anything to it, even with my own horses. You know, by the time, you know, I got around it, the cold was there. And so this is something that, we kind of doctored about it, but a normal birth, we don't have to worry about. It's the abnormal ones. And we had a lot of abnormal ones. And we were just talking with somebody that had been with me there. Yes, thanks to my long arms, I was still in school when there was one cow that would have should have gone to slaughter. I would have gone to slaughter if I hadn't been there. It was an embryotomy, a dead calf that was in the cow. We had to cut it apart. And nobody could reach with the wire to put it between the hind legs and cut the pelvis in half. And I said, I want to try it one more time. And yes, you know, there were two guys. I was laying on the ground. Two guys were standing, and I was pushing my feet against their feet, getting as far as I got, and I got the wire in between the hind legs. We cut the pelvis in half of the calf, and both halves came out, and the cow got up and was fine. And that was actually the first cow that I saved. And maybe that's where my motto comes from, never give up.
So I've talked to you numerous times about what it was like in vet school in the Netherlands during the 60s. We've had several conversations about that. But what I've never known and what you've never told me was, what was the Netherlands like in the 1960s? Was it a lot of bell bottoms? Were you wearing white? Did you have jumpsuits? Like
no.
John Travolta?
No.
Were you a disco guy? Were you a hippie?
No, and I didn't like the Beatles either. what I had enjoyed already was the country and western. That was very popular over there too. Actually, my sister that went to Canada got me listening to that kind of music, and I still enjoy it.
So who's your favorite country singer today? Today? Yeah. If we could get one country group on the show, who would that country group be?
To be honest with you, that is hard for me to say.
There's so many good ones, aren't there? There are just so many good ones.
Yeah.
Shania
Twain. Would you like Shania Twain?
Hey, they're all good. You know, we have, because we have been busy lately, but Diane and I have seen Johnny Cash. We've seen the Statler Brothers. We've seen the Oak Ridge Brothers. All these people have retired already, and I'm still going strong. I wish they would. Right now, there's a lot of good ones. I enjoy them all, but to see any one of them, I haven't had a chance to go out to many of these concerts.
You haven't been to. You guys don't do very much. You don't have a... You have this house. Everyone sees your house on television, but what they might not realize is you spend a lot of time outside the office here, don't you? You don't go out very much, do you?
We don't go out very much anymore. There's too much to do. And yes, with the show, time is getting a lot shorter than it used to be.
And speaking of people who just arrive at the clinic, I've never seen a show or someone that's on television where you can literally knock on their door, or they don't even knock. They just walk into the clinic and they can meet the star of the show. And Dr. Pohl, can you tell us a little bit about we call them the pilgrims or the pogroms.
Pilgrims. When this show became popular, the people in the clinic, our staff, was actually laughing because there would be people coming in with a camera on their chest and look around and say, is this a real clinic? Yes, it is. Well, they had no idea. And right now, people realize that it is a real clinic and that they see real patients. And I think this is why it's so popular, because it is a reality.
But how many visitors have you had this year, would you say?
This year was exceptional. We probably had between 120 to 150 people coming through every week. That was, you know, people from all over the United States. Outside the United States, we have from South America. We've had them from France. We have had them from Sweden. And right now, like I said, Belgium, there has been a lot of people from Belgium come through.
We don't, you know, what people don't realize, what even blows my mind is, You actually read all your fan mail. When you get fan mail, it's like Santa getting fan mail. We had a letter come in to the clinic that was like just had Pole Veterinary Service. What was it?
Mount Pleasant.
Mount Pleasant, Michigan. No zip code, no address, nothing. And it found you like Santa Claus.
You're right.
But you look through all your letters. He reads all the letters. And I just can't believe your dedication to the fans and everything like that. It's pretty incredible. That's one of the things that make you the incredible Dr. Bull.
What I say here again is that without the fans, there would not be a show. So I thank the fans for sticking with the show and keep on listening.
I think that anybody who says like, oh, I wonder if the incredible Dr. Pohl, what he's like in real life. Well, folks, I'm going to ruin this mystery for you. He's exactly like he is on TV, probably more so than any other celebrity I've ever met in my life. But we got to go to commercials, so stay tuned for more of the incredible Dr. Pohlcast.
Support from this podcast comes from Vetresen. Vetresen is asking pet parents and animal owners worldwide what they enjoy most about caring for animals. Come share your stories at vetresen.com. That's VETERICYN.com.
Welcome back, everybody. We have callers patiently waiting on the line. Let's go to the phones. Thank you for calling the Incredible Dr. Podcast. This is Charles Pohl. Who are we speaking with?
Yes, my name is Jeff, and I'm calling from Maryland.
Hello, Jeff from Maryland. What's your question for Dr. Pohl?
Well, Charles and Doctor, my daughter, Erica, is in, she just finished her second year in vet school down at Ross University in St. Kitts. So she is very much academically kind of overwhelmed right now. She's doing very well. But she's a little frustrated that she's not getting as much hands-on experience. A lot of book learning she's able to do, but not a lot of hands-on. And I was wondering if you have any suggestions or recommendations as she continues her vet career, hopefully a successful vet career, to try to get as much hands-on experience as she can.
Okay. You're living in Maryland. Do you live in a town or in a small town or on in the country?
Well, we're about a half an hour from Baltimore or Washington, D.C.,
okay.
So we don't have far to go.
Yeah. Well, the main thing is, does she come home on summers?
Well, down at Ross, she only gets 2 weeks off in between the semesters, so she doesn't have the traditional May to August time off.
Yeah,
they're
I know.
In school pretty much all the time.
Yes, I know they want to push them through that. That's good. What I was going to say, you know, I know in St. Kitts there is not many animals, and especially not many farm animals. The main thing is that if she would come here, that she volunteers at veterinary clinics, and there are veterinarians that will help these students get experience. And yes, if she only has 2 weeks, you know, still go to a veterinary clinic and tell them what is going on. And even observing other veterinarians will help. You cannot learn everything from videos and from computer lessons. So the hands-on is in the surgery room. And this is what I suggest that she does, that she, you know, teams up with a veterinary clinic and watches as much as possible.
It's not inappropriate for her to just get out and go up to the vet clinics or the vet hospitals in the area, explain her situation, even if she only has a couple weeks, and just ask to monitor or observe a doctor in surgery. That wouldn't be inappropriate, would it?
No, no. In fact, if that has happened to us many times where students come, and yes, just walk around, follow a veterinarian, and go into the exam rooms, see how they're doing it, and then especially also surgeries. But the main thing is the hands-on, you know, do a physical exam. Anything that she can do that they will let her do and monitor her so that, you know, she learns with hands-on. You know, it's always important, you know, to see patients and do a good physical exam. And if she can find a veterinarian that'll help her, that would be really nice.
Okay, well, Doctor, I thank you very much. I wanted her to be able to talk to you. She is walking home right now. Could she say hi to you very quick, very quickly?
Sure can.
Would that be okay?
Yes.
Okay, here she is. Her name is Erica.
Hello, Erica. Are you there? Hello, Erica.
Hi, Dr. Paul.
How do you like it in St. Kitts? Nice and warm, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really warm.
Yes. Did you understand what I told to you, Dad?
I just got here. What did you tell him?
Oh, he'll tell you. But I wish you lots of luck and good luck and hope that you graduate with high marks and come here and find a good place to work.
Thank you. I love watching your show. I read your book in like a weekend.
Thank you, Erica.
So,
yeah, Merry Christmas.
My, like, buddy break. Merry Christmas to you, too.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
And Doc, can you relate to being overwhelmed academically? Did you ever have a semester or two where you were just thrown so much information and you just had to study and really not have any physical contact with animals?
Yes, that was in the first 4 years that a vet school. The setup in the Netherlands in the 60s was completely different than what it is now. And we had all book learning in the first 4 years, and that overwhelmed me. I'm a hands-on guy, and as soon as we started seeing patients, I just breathed a sigh of relief because that was so much easier.
Thank you for calling the Incredible Dr. Polecast. I'm Charles Pohl. Who are we speaking with?
This is Blaine from New York.
Hi, Blaine. What's your question for New York, or for Dr. Pohl?
You for one there. Oh, so thank you for taking my call, guys. I love your show, Dr. Pohl.
Thank you, Blaine.
I can't believe I'm asking a question right now. But so my question is, last year my dog contracted diabetes, and me and my fiance find it extremely difficult to coordinate with each other who had given the shot, who hadn't given the shot, and how much, at what time, all that stuff. So what I did after that is I created an app. I'm an app developer, and I created an app so people can do that, and I wanted to know what your take is on that and pet diabetes in general.
Well, we see diabetes so much lately that is almost dog comes into the clinic with polydipsia and polyuria, and the first thing you do is check the blood level sugars. And yes, so many dogs have diabetes. If you develop an app for it, that's perfect. I am not that cell phone knowledgeable, so I would have used a calendar that you hang by the dog food and mark it on the calendar how much and when you gave it to him. You know as well as I do, insulin has to be given twice a day. And
the
best way would be, every 12 hours. And yes, you have to check it with your veterinarian, of course, how high the sugar level is, the glucose level. If you can keep it, this is my experience at our clinic, if you can keep the glucose under 200, we're doing good. Of course, dogs are a lot harder to control than humans because, they are not as knowledgeable about it, of course, as what we are. We find that cats are even worse than dogs because dogs, you can tell them, hey, you eat now. While a cat looks at you and says, no, we'll do it later.
Okay. All right. Well, that was it. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thanks,
Wayne. Thank
you. Thank you for calling the Incredible Dr. Polecast. You're on with Dr. Pohl. This is Charles. Who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Rob.
Hi, Rob. What's your question for Dr. Pohl?
Yes, I had my dog tested here a couple Saturdays ago. She got her routine vaccinations and that. And I got a positive result with her having heartworms. And I want to know what the procedure is on trying to get her back to health.
Okay, what we use in our clinic is imidacite. It is okay. A drug that it requires two injections 24 hours apart. And okay. this goes right in the loin, in her back. It is painful.
Okay.
And some veterinarians will put the dog on doxycycline for some time and then give the injections. Or many other ones also will put them on painkillers afterwards. But in my sight, two injections is what will kill the adult heartworms.
Okay. Dr. Paul, can you tell me if they're going to do any additional tests, like x-rays or any more blood sampling to see how bad she is?
Well, we don't do that. For us, okay. if the snap test that we use is positive, then we do an exam on the dog. And if we find other things that concern us, then we may do a different test. But if the dog looks healthy, the heart sounds normal, then we just schedule the treatment.
Well, folks, that's all the time we have today. Stay tuned for an all-new episode of the Incredible Dr. Polecast next week. And remember, this couldn't be possible without our sponsor.
Looking for the best animal wellness products? From eyewash and ear rinse to hot spot spray and wound and skin care, Vetresen has you covered for your home, the farm, and the ranch. Vetresen makes caring for your animals simple and easy. For more information, go to vetresen.com. That's VETERICYN.com.